Ranked number one in innovation 11 consecutive years, Arizona State University isn't just ahead of the curve. It's creating new paths to success. Learn from notable clinical and research faculty. Online, that's a degree better. Explore programs at asuonline.asu.edu.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Five Aside. Today I have Namdi here with me and Ope, and I think Tope should be joining in a few. But it's been a great weekend for Nigerians, those who support Nigeria, at least, and maybe Arsenal, Chelsea fans, maybe not Man U fans, but at least Nigeria can be their one source of joy this weekend. So anyway, how have you been, guys? How's your weekend been?
I mean, besides Madrid just playing rubbish today, I think it was a pretty solid weekend for me.
Yeah, I always forget that you're kind of a Madrid fan, actually.
Yeah, Madrid. It wasn't a mess up. I'm not expecting too much of them, but it was nice to see Nigeria. You know, the Super Eagles do their thing. I didn't really even watch the Arsenal game, but you know, hit watch online, it was a success again. So yeah, I love that. It was I'll call it a great weekend overall.
Yeah, it was for me for sure. Namdi, what about you?
I had a great weekend. Nigeria did well. You know, I watched the game. I was like, okay. We actually really dominated the whole game, which was very impressive. I think we definitely have some really like top players in the competition. So I was impressed overall on the game. Man City 10-1. What more can I really say? It was a great game. Haaland didn't score, but you know, our new boy Semenyo did his thing.
Oh, wait, is Namdi a City representative today, or is he a Man U representative?
I represent Manchester.
Yeah, representing Manchester. Okay, good.
As far as United, in all honesty, I had given up on our season with the sacking of Amorim. So,
We'll get to United. Sasso rules very soon. So you're working with a mixed bag, basically.
Not really. I cannot let one game stop me from enjoying the joy of my other games, so I'm happy.
Toby, how's your weekend been?
Oh man. Firstly, hey guys, how you guys doing?
We good.
Man, I just recovered from the sickness now, so from the flu, so that's good. Nigeria beat Algeria, which I was not expecting, so double good. And then the club that will not be named, you know, they continue to do what they are doing. But you know,
we'll name the club.
All in all.
No point in this show.
All in all.
But okay, that's good. Anyway, yeah, I think. Honestly, Nigeria was probably the highlight of each, like all of our weekends for sure. But yeah, it was a great game. Honestly, probably one of the best performances in my lifetime. I didn't watch Atlanta 96. So, but in terms of the days of Yobo, Mikel, Dewingi, MNEK, yeah. Martin, all until today, bro. I can say so in my chest. I don't think I've seen us put like this number of great performances back to back in a stretch. Like, and even when we won 2013, I don't remember us being this good then. I know that was Sunday and cool. Yeah. I don't remember us being this good, honestly. But I mean, what do you guys have to say about the game? I mean, Kasab Obey Hafa.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like that game, looking at it, I don't know what the coach was able to do. I mean, I've been seeing the glimpses from the start of the AFCON. Like the midfielders looked like very solid with Onyeka and Iwobi just pulling the strings. I guess Onyeka and Ndidi, they are doing like the the rugged job, and they just give it will be that free roll, but it will be has been going crazy this AFCON. And even the other guy, what's his name? I know he'd be missing a lot, the Akko guy, the striker, mm-hmm. but yeah, he honestly, him and Osimhen, like up top, I don't know, there's just something about that attack and it gels so well. And having like Lookman just pull the strings behind them, bro. Yeah, I have very, very ambitious hopes for this team. And it's only sad that these guys are not even in the World Cup, man, because I would have loved to see these guys play World Cup for real.
Don't remind me of that one. So the ones remember World Cup. Akko Adams, he kind of reminds me of Brownie Day and Emenike a little bit.
Yeah, it reminds me of Emenike, actually, yeah. But yeah, overall performance, I think it was good. And I think this team, honestly, like, I like the fact that these guys, it seems like, even though maybe they messed up initially, but there's hunger in this team. And I know Osimhen has actually, like, you know, done his overzealous share a bit, but you can tell that these guys are really, like, trying. I guess maybe the World Cup was, like, missing the World Cup is a wake-up call for them, and they were like, oh, fuck it. Maybe we'll just go crazy in this AFCON. But, yeah, it will be nice to see them carry this AFCON for sure. It'll be a good, yeah, good trophy to shit on Ghanaians with.
I get the feeling like they've clicked. It just feels so sad. Like, as for the World Cup, a bit late, but they've clicked right on time for the AFCON. They've really gelled. Namdi, Toby.
Okay. What
do you think about?
I love the game. I think one thing I was always kind of worried about with this Nigerian team was, like, I've always felt like when it's time to stand up and be counted, like over the last what 4 or 5 years, that the team kind of just shrinks in those moments, like when they play the real serious teams. But I was very, very surprised about how good they managed the game throughout. And I think one thing that's really, like, because I also thought that even for the three other teams left in the competition, one thing that is really good about this Nigerian team is our continuity. Like, these boys have been together for such a long time. Their bond is really strong. And that's really what you need sometimes, most of the time, to carry you through international football.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I was actually, I'm very happy about. Like, when I watch, I don't know if you guys watch Iwobi's vlogs, when he's like posting, like, there's just seeing the team, seeing the togetherness of the guys. They all seem like they genuinely like each other off the field. So it's like, that's been very nice to get through and see, you know. So, but hopefully, I think if we beat Morocco, I think it will be one of the most impressive victories I've ever seen Nigeria in my life. Like, this is one, Morocco was one win away from the World Cup final, one win away. And they have the continuity.
Are you more worried about Morocco than Senegal?
Morocco are my favorites. I think they're the best team. I've held them as my favorite for a while now. I think the Senegal team, to me, I wouldn't say it's on the way down, but I think they're the second best team in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Morocco are complete. I think also being the host nation. And Brahim Diaz, that's a real X factor there.
Yeah, he's such a
good player. He's such a complete player.
Having one heck of a tournament.
So if Nigeria can go to that game and win that game, then I'll say, yeah. Rubber stamp. It will be in very nasty conversations.
He has made his way into a lot of very nasty conversations. I think he will be already some conversations for me. I'll bring that up later.
No.
But anyway, yeah, I agree with you certainly about the team clicking right now because of their togetherness and continuity. That's something I feel like we might be reaping the rewards of for sure. Anyway, Namdi, what about you? How was the game for you?
Man, it was impressive. I can't lie, man. Like, I really watched them. I was like, damn, these niggas are balling. Like, and Algeria didn't even look like they were a bad team. It didn't look like, oh, these are just good guys beating a bad team. It just looked like they were powerless for real. There's just nothing we can do. Like,
reminded me of one time when we were in JS2. We had like really good ballers in our JS2 team back then. We set up a game with like SS2 boys, and it was obvious like we had more like skillful technical players, but yeah. The SS2 boys were stronger and better than us, and they were just more of a team, and they completely destroyed us. But we had moments. It looked like Algeria, they had some talent here, yeah, but physically they were not close to Nigeria at all.
Mm. Fair, true. Actually,
that physical part was crazy. Like, Onyeka and that entire midfield dominance, honestly. Like, I felt bad for them at some point. And, I mean, I guess they are not that bad, but honestly, their keeper, like, their defense looked bad the way these guys were opening them up. I can't even lie. And, I mean, that's not the first game I've seen Nigeria do that kind of craziness. I think throughout this AFCON tournament, every Nigerian's game, I'm like, man, these guys are balling. Like, forget I'm supporting Nigeria. I'm like, I'm actually impressed at the connections, the way they are playing the ball quick, and the way they are just dominating, like, the game. And, yeah, I'm excited to see. Like, I mean, I think Morocco definitely has the shout for the tournament, but I think we got it on Morocco, man. We'll put Bassi on Brian Diaz. Lock him up.
Did you hear Ndidi's potentially suspended for that game too as well?
Oh, that could be an issue.
Yeah.
Why? Potentially? Yeah. Is it because of what happened after the game?
It's two yellow cards, I think. Yeah, completed two yellow cards. And so he's looking like he'll be suspended for the game.
Well, we hope not.
Well, hopefully not. Which, again, they should be wiping out the cards now when you get to semi-final stage. Just wipe out.
Yeah. But, I mean, the guy who played in the stead at like the game before Algeria, he played really well, though. The last group game.
Was it Onyedika?
Onyedika. I think it was Onyedika. Yeah, Onyedika. Onyedika played really well. So.
Yeah, I like Onyedika. Actually, I quite like Onyedika.
But anyway, the reason I mentioned Senegal earlier was because I saw how physically dominant we were against Tunisia and then Algeria. And I kind of expect the same thing in Morocco. That's kind of why I'm a bit more worried about a Senegal or maybe a Congo serve if you had met Congo. I think Senegal could match us physically in a way. I don't know if Morocco can.
Yeah, fair.
So fair. That's kind of why I wouldn't be too scared of Morocco. I might eat my words, but I think we should. But they're a stronger team than Algeria, of course, but we'll see. Anyway, bro, I know one of our biggest issues in the previous Nigerian teams has always been creativity in midfield. And we can also say that we've controlled most all our games this tournament and how good it will be. I think I watched Sam's interview, the last one, where he mentioned something about us playing a back five and how we've converted to like a back four. Now we have like three midfielders. Iwobi has like license to go forward and do what he does. I think he was spot on there. Because I think I noticed the same thing, like having two midfielders as opposed to playing Iwobi and somebody else. Now we have three. So right. I think that might have freed up Iwobi a lot. And we're now seeing that creativity we had accused him of not being capable of. Yeah, I think we've had that since maybe. I don't think, if I'm being honest, people might disagree, but I don't think Mikel was as good as he will be. I didn't see Mikel play this well for Nigeria in this team.
That's a hard take right there.
Except under 17, under 20, 2005, because I think one of the biggest criticisms of Mikel back then was that, oh my gosh, he's not creative, he's not doing this, he's not, because of Mourinho. I know the narrative was that Mourinho has pulled him, turned into a DM. He could never fully reach that level we had expected, that level we saw in under 20. I don't think he ever got to that level because I don't remember him having an all-time tournament for Nigeria as a 10. I don't remember. Anybody can disagree. I don't remember that. And I watched him throughout. I liked him more for his leadership and his ability to speak up for the team and everything. But in terms of on-field performances, man's left me frustrated so many times in my life watching Nigeria as a child.
Yeah.
And it will be this tournament, in my opinion. He has surpassed him at least on the field. Can't lie, bro.
Do you think maybe he was kind of suffering the same thing that he will be was suffering before we made the switch that we've done with the three midfielders? Or it was simply just a case of like they really didn't put Mikel in the position to really succeed.
I can agree to that.
Really, like you know, one tournament away from one coach away from the person understanding you. Mm-hmm. And just being like, you know what, actually, you play the 10, let's protect you. And you just worry about being the creative force on this team. Because, I don't know, I resonate very heavily with what you said about, like, he never really did it for Nigeria past the under-17, under-20 level.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just, Nigeria as a whole felt so stale during that period.
Very stale. You said
the 2013 AFCON, it was, we did good and Mbah was the highlights.
Yeah.
I can still remember that goal against Ivory Coast. Rubber stamped in my head.
Sunday.
But that tournament was just
It was very almost like last tournament when we got to the finals. We were playing, playing very stale football, but we got to the finals.
Very stale football. We just got there. I don't know how we got there, but I'll take it, you know? Yeah. But this feels like our coaching has actually been very good. We've been very intentional about putting the right guys together. So if we end up winning this tournament, then if you say Iwobi has done more for Nigeria than Mikel, has been better for Nigeria, I can agree with you.
If we win it, I'll repeat it again.
I will be like, you know what?
Whether we win it or not, those performances I've seen, maybe I was too young to understand what he was doing. I just have enjoyed watching Iwobi as a 10. He's not even as a 10, but as a creative force for Nigeria, because he's more of an 8. I mean, I know I've been seeing Lookman has been playing the 10, but as a creative hub for Nigeria, I think I've enjoyed watching him do that more. Last time I did was watching Okocha. I didn't get the same feeling with Mikel, honestly. But yeah, also, I don't know.
One thing to also shout out though is Nigeria's wing backs, like the Osaiga and Bruno. Those guys they've been on lock, bro. I can't even cap. Like I love how solid the defense is. And me, like, maybe it's Ateta that is changing me. I used to be an attack guy, but I'm a defense wing shit. And it just seems like the defenders, like, you know, Bassi, the Bruno, Osai, those guys, like, they lock their positions down. And, you know, maybe Iwobi also has that connection with Bassi, because I see it a lot. I mean, they play together in Fulham, so it could be a thing where some of those guys, they just click. Like, maybe it's easier for them to click and maintain the midfield. Ah, you know this guy plays for the club, and you know the style of football that they play. But overall, I think the entire team, like, yeah, Iwobi is doing great and he's doing immense. But, you know, the fact that Osimhen is scoring goals, and we're not even shouting out Osimhen, you know, the fact that other guys are doing crazy things, it just shows, like, the entire team is actually, like, you know, they are playing well together. And that's what I want to see.
Yeah. That's exactly who I was about to say.
You guys are just talking, Iwobi. Bro, that Osayi nigga, that guy is a baller.
He's a baller.
They're actually all balling. Even Bassi in that center back position, bro. That nigga is giving
best African center back
passes, bro. Like in the middle, in between, straight
best
to your
African
head.
Center back.
Like, bro, no. The team is balling, bro. The team is balling for real.
Yeah.
Like
Osayi is a great shout.
Yeah, no, Osayi definitely deserves to be there. Like, I don't even know who I can really say is my standout player. Like, the team is just looking like a well-oiled machine. Like, I don't know. That was all, what's his name? The other striker, is it Akko? What's his name?
Akko Adams.
Akko Adams, yeah.
Is he the really tall one? Okay, Akko Adams, okay.
Yeah. I'm happy.
I wonder if it was really tall one of the Akadams.
But that nigga misses a lot, man. Like, he's good.
Chances. He plays well.
No, he's good. You can tell he's good, but man, they miss chance, huh? Well, at least he's getting in positions where he's getting chance.
He reminded me of Martinelli today. Or Martinelli reminded me of him today. But I even thought we were talking about Paul Onuachu initially. I saw a debate about Osimhen and our strikers and whatnot. What do you guys think about that? I think someone said that we've never had a world class striker in Nigeria before. We've never had a truly world class striker.
It's sad that Osimhen is not in the Premier League. I think it's a disgrace that Osimhen is actually still like in Galatasaray and fighting for a move. Because this guy, legit, is up there with, like, the greatest strikers that I've seen. Yeah. Like, in this era, in this recent era of strikers, bro, Osimhen can do everything. Like, bro, it's sad that this guy, you know, is not in a bigger team. And I think, honestly, like, I would love to see him, like, play in the top European team before, you know, this is shine or his limelight goes away. But yeah, and even the Akko guy, you're saying he misses chances, but one chance that he scored, I think it was in the game before Algeria, where he slapped the ball into the roof of the net like this from near post. Bruh, That kind of finish, like Aguero type finish, is what I'd be looking for every time in strikers. And seeing that he has the confidence to just slapping balls like that, like, yeah, that's what I want to see for my striker, honestly.
That's good. His movement is what
Jokers do stuff like that.
Okay.
But what do you guys think, though? Do you think is Osimhen our first truly world class player
or striker?
Okay, striker then player. You can answer for.
I would love to think that Yekini.
Yeah, I'll see.
I don't know who kind of was a striker though.
Me, I don't know. No,
I don't know
who
kind of was a striker though.
No, I mean world class player. But as far as striker,
okay, yeah.
I honestly don't know enough about that era, but I've heard a lot about Yekini. So that's the only other person that will come to mind for me.
I think quality wise, Yekini probably was. But I think the issue is, I guess, the level he did it at, especially like club wise and everything. But I would say Yekini. I'll put Yekini there. But besides Yekini, I honestly would agree with that statement. I don't think we've had a real, truly world class. Because for me, are you the best in your era? I know some people like see who Matis played with in Inter Milan. That's why he couldn't get in the first team. But well, that sucks. That means in your era, you are not really amongst the very best.
I don't know about Matis as a very good footballer in himself. Like Jesus. He was rapid. He was rapid. He was really quick, and that decided how he played the game. I don't know. Osimhen, I feel like, can play anyway. He can play with the ball to his feet, play under pressure, back to goal. I think he's the most complete striker we've had in our history.
I'll actually say that. I think he's the highest level striker we've had.
Highest level.
Like, you're not talking about, okay, if you mention top five strikers in the world today, you easily mention Osimhen. But other strikers we've had, Yakubu, they had moments where they were on form, they were good, but I wouldn't say they ever made it to top 10, top 20, but they were talking of top 10, Seth, to be fair. So I would agree. In terms of player, it's hard, yeah, because I won't say anybody besides Osimhen, I won't say anybody who had is undisputable, in a sense. You get, it's kind of like, okay, JJ Okocha, the Okocha make it top 5 Ballon d'Or, top 10 Ballon d'Or in his era. I know he was, it's very it's complicated a little bit. I don't know how to do
Is Lookman world class to you? I think he is.
Lookman is not Osimhen world class, but I would say he's close. I think he's very, very close to it. But I won't say he's bona fide world class, in my opinion.
I think Osimhen has like longevity in that world class level.
Yeah.
So overall in his career, you can say he was world class. But you can be world class for one season or two seasons. Doesn't necessarily mean you are world class.
Yeah, but I know Lookman had a season where he was the best African player of the year. But then ever since then, he's kind of like,
or right, basically what you're saying, like, this is performance in Africa. I think Lookman is world class, like, yeah, at the levels he has played in, like scoring a hat trick in the European finals. That is not beans. And yeah. I think he's maintaining it at that level. I think part of the issues with Lookman is, I don't know what's up with Italy and black players, but you know, his issues with coaches and stuff like that. But outside of that, from what I've been seeing in the team, Lookman is world class, man. That guy is a baller.
That's a good shot.
Yeah,
he's a baller.
That is
cross.
So
Osimhen,
I guess,
too
accurate.
So Lookman is a baller.
I like Unamdi's point about like the differences in world class, because I do think I also agree that like world class, you need to have been doing it for a very consistent amount of time.
Yeah.
To be getting that type of label, so I like that. I can agree that okay, maybe Lookman hasn't just done that as long as Osimhen has done it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's actually like that. I like that definition of world class. Just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, I mean, and just basically where you stand amongst the best players in the world. That's the Vinny's. I mean, of course, Haaland is on his own. Haaland is on his own side. Haaland and Mbappe are their own level. But then there's the, like...
Harry Kane is on his own level, too.
Yeah.
Like, that guy is something else.
Saka, Bruno...
Not Bruno, please. Not Bruno, please. That's, not Bruno, please. I don't want... See, I do not want to hear that brother's name.
Bruno is not working.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it, I beg.
If you don't hear it.
I beg.
Bro,
somebody save me. Somebody save me. Save me from this peril.
Bruno is easily world class. Okay.
It's okay, we'll get to Manu later. But anyway, though, yeah, I mean, of course, we can all agree. I guess Osimhen and everything. I don't know. We've had very, very good players, but Kanu, Okocha, Mokachi, guys that have been very, very good. But yeah, in terms of reputation wise versus their other players in the world, honestly, I think this is someone that I wouldn't be surprised if he wins a Ballon d'Or. I don't know. That's yeah. For other players back in the past, I would have been very shocked. Say Kanu won the Ballon d'Or, I would have been very shocked. But I'll be less shocked if Osimhen did that.
That's not ridiculous to say.
That says a lot. Like, yeah, I wouldn't. Yeah, imagine he goes to like say Chelsea or a big club now, becomes their main striker. I think he will thrive, and I think he could do something crazy.
I would have loved him at United. I think I would have loved him at United. He's the right age, and he knows what he needs to do as a striker. I would have just loved him at United.
No, I've taken him out. Any top club, like, I think all these strikers that we're seeing, the likes of the Jokeres, likes of the Sescos, you know, even like the rest of them in the Premier League, like, Osimhen is better than these niggas, if I'm being honest. So,
yeah, I agree.
And I think he'll go bow to bow with Haaland, like, maybe not to his level, but of course, Haaland, I think Haaland
is obviously, but yeah. Yeah,
this one we have seen this guy come second in Premier League. What's this guy? This guy that plays for Brentford.
Is he the Go Thiago? That's what I'm saying, bro. We have Igo Thiago scoring for
him. Igo Thiago. But anyway, yeah, I guess when Nigeria is playing Morocco next, hopefully we beat them and we make it to the finals and win this goddamn thing. That's the least we deserve for what they've put us through. But we can move on to there was nothing. Honestly, I considered not watching any more football this weekend and just, you know, focus on enjoying and reveling in Nigeria's victory. But I ended up seeing some FA Cup games and whatnot. I know Chelsea won their game. I mean, Chelsea, City, Arsenal got pretty very, very easy fixtures. That would have been quite the shocker if they didn't win. So I think most of us probably focused on Man U versus Brighton. That was probably the tastiest fixture of this thing. But anyway, by the way, I know Wrexham beats Nottingham Forest, which I thought was
cool. For some penalties.
Yeah.
Did you even see the keeper look like a student, like a uni boy?
The Wrexham keeper.
So, like, the Wrexham keeper. Like, they just grabbed that ball off of, like, you just got finished from class. You won't keep.
Yeah, their story is crazy. That's basically like me in
crazy,
FM.
Bro.
Me, that's how they do FM. I'll go and pick one team like this and pump money into them and carry them to the Premier League. They are, those like, guys actually make it to the Prem. I would love to see them in the Prem, and they have money. Wrexham, and also another one was Macclesfield beat who they beat again?
Crystal Palace,
yeah. Crystal Palace has been weird this season. Palace has been very, very weird this season. I don't know what's really going on with them. They've been having moments, but they've not been consistent at all. I know Glasner is part of those that United fans are looking at to take over Man U. I don't know.
I think Europe has killed them. They've lost Eze. And I think it's just been your captain wants to leave. Your captain doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
It just feels dysfunctional off the field.
Yeah, I think they have a lot of like off the field weirdness going on. And combining Europe, which is probably why I guess Emery deserves some credit. Yeah, and Chelsea won their game. Arsenal won their game pretty easily as well. Man City scored 10. Those ones, they're just bullies. Like, you don't really have to go that like all out like that, like, for real. Arsenal's game was probably even more annoying because these guys actually started very well. What are their names again? Yeah, Prosmalt. Bro, Prosmalt just takes me back, man. Kind of uncle.
Yeah, it's Prem Heritage right there. That's Prem Heritage.
Those guys used to be good, though. I don't know what happened to them. Actually, my dad used to support Prosmalt, which is weird.
They went into administration. I think that's why they got relegated that first time.
Yeah. They've been going down and down. But anyway, let's focus on the big game. Man, you Brighton. I was actually thinking, why not keep Liverpool's current manager, and as opposed to getting someone like Ole. I think I had this last one. Darren Fletcher. Like, if you're going to get an interim, why not just keep your current interim? What's the difference? Why bring a new interim? Why not use it?
You may go punish me. You go punish me.
What's wrong? What's different? So you want Ole to come as an interim?
I don't want any of them. Like, I'm so sick of this United DNA nonsense. Like, they were talking about, they were asking Fletcher in the press conference, like, how do you remember? I've been showing them old videos of Cristiano and we're really, guy, just leave me alone. Leave me alone with this United DNA nonsense. It's the most fabricated nonsense I've ever heard. And that's what would allow us to move on. You can talk about, I've been showing them videos. What?
Videos of
no. Of Cristiano, Park Ji-sung. Like, what are we doing?
Is it as motivation or what?
They're asking you to pass or not. You're telling me you're showing them videos.
And motivation. Cristiano can motivate, you know.
That's why he motivated them to a 2-2 draw with Burnley now. And then he 2-1 loss to Brighton. Mm.
Nam, what do you think?
I told you, I'm giving up on United, man. Like, the fact that they made this decision at this time of the season, clearly it was due to lack of planning. They didn't expect it. They didn't necessarily even need to make that decision and bring more instability to the club. Like, yeah, I don't trust these owners. I feel like this just made me lose all credibility for them. And I have accepted that this is the cycle that United will forever be in. And I cannot kill myself. That's just what it is.
Mm.
This earlier today.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, No, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead, guys. Sorry. Go ahead.
Now, I was just going to say, like, I mean, to buttress Namdi's point here, it makes no sense for you guys to decide to let your manager go now. If anything, if you guys wanted to be that guy, I felt like from the Grimsby game, you should have just cut it there. And know, okay, this season, we have new players. We'd rather get an interim coach up until we get the main guy. But doing it in January, he might as well let the guy stay till summer and, you know, try to recoup whatever losses, you know, try to find a new person. But doing it now at this stage of the season, I feel like it's even low-key scary to United's, you know, season at the end of the day. Because, yeah, they are still in sixth. But honestly, looking at this performance, they still drew to the Burnleys, they drew to the West Ham, and it's like, if you can't get those points with a manager, you know, I don't know, without a serious manager and with a team that he's been working with, because Amorim has been working with this team for like over a year. So it's like, maybe some of those things have been starting to click and now you're just trying to wipe all that off and start again mid-season. Relegation might not be too far off. Like, I'm not saying United will get relegated, obviously, but considering like how badly they were doing with Amorim, You need a miracle to like keep you guys afloat this season, I would think.
Let me say something though. I guess what made it weird to me was coming out earlier in the season and talking about you're giving him 3 more years, and then now fire him when they are trending towards like 5th, 4th. So it makes it look like, was the driving force Z football or just the fact that he came out to speak his mind? It makes them look a bit unserious a little bit.
I'm really trying to, because I won't lie to you, that sacking hit me hard. It hit me really hard. Because, like, we're saying all the right things. Like you said, like you mentioned with Ratcliffe, he has to prove that he's a good manager over 3 years. We brought him, we forced him to come from Sporting mid-season, knowing the nonsense that we were doing that season, by the way. Like one of the most disingenuous things I've seen from United fans is this combining of last season and this season to kind of like paint a certain picture that, like, remember what we were before he even entered that season. We were bottom half of the table when he took over, I believe. So that's what we were that season. So you force him to come all the way down here. And then, because again, listen to his last press conference. I signed here to be the manager, not the coach. You cannot be coming here. You give me promises about my control over this team. And then all of a sudden you are changing that. You are asking me to play back four. You are listening to the Gary Nevilles, the pundits, over a solid project that we are trying to do. To just throw all of that away. It's really upsetting because it's like,
I have a question though to what you're saying, but him coming out to make that statement to me, that made me believe that he, because making that statement, he was going to get sacked. I knew he was going to get sacked. Everyone knew he was going to get sacked. Making that statement kind of shows me that he was mentally done with that job. I don't think he had it in him anymore, whether they sacked him or not. He didn't sound like someone who actually believed in himself to actually do anything else. For whatever reason, I think he had lost belief in the board and the team.
But that, I don't think it's in the team. I think
To the board's, Namdi, you're on mute if you're talking. Namdi, what were you saying?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, so I was about to say, like, they kept reducing his power all through. He wanted to sign a seasoned striker from the Premier League. They signed Sesko. I mean, I kind of understand, you know, financially, it made more sense to put the money towards Sesko due to his age, all that fair and resale value. But then Wilcox, who believes he's a manager, but doesn't want to take the managerial role, is telling him how to bring out his team. And it's like, come on, we don't know work. They tell me the work where I'm supposed to know. It doesn't make sense. Like, everybody has their role on this project. I specialize in this part of the project. Let me do my part of the project. It's like somebody else that's not even good at what they are doing coming to you to tell you what you are doing, but they've never done what you've done before. That's crazy.
A lot of interference. It's a lot of interference in his management.
It's like you can't do stuff like that. Then when you're recruiting players, you're not letting him recruit the type of players that he wants or finding players. Because there's no way that all they can do is find the most expensive player. Like, there's no reason you cannot tell me you can't find at least one small person to help. One person that can just get the minimum of the job done. Nothing crazy, nothing magnificent, just getting the job done. You can't tell me you can't find a midfielder that can do that. Whether it's loan or paying small amount. Now, the 10 million where they're supposed to use for transfer, which they even told him they're not even buying any player this January. Like, it's frustrating, bro. It's frustrating. Okay, and then you keep coming out and you keep hearing all the nonsense in the media. People keep questioning you. When the board originally told you they will support you, and it's fair, bro. I'm just disappointed in the board. Like, I'm done with the board. Like, and that's who runs the club.
Right, Toby, go ahead.
You know, I think also one of the things that was like really difficult was like it felt like we're all living and dying by every single result we had this season. Like, you know how, like,
you know what I'm saying? Every single fucking.
But it felt like every game was a Champions League final. And we were just over-analyzing and over. And I'm like, well, we signed up for a project to be good over the next 3 years. Let's see where we are after the end of this, at the end of this project. And it felt like if we're not good now, then what's the point? And I feel like because people felt like we had a chance to be in top four. But the truth is that if we were truly a good enough team, we wouldn't be having the problems, the inconsistencies we were having. So we're not having that because simply we just, this team is good enough, something is just holding us back. No, the team is not good. The team is not, this team is, it just is not good enough. And I think people need to realize that, maybe this is going to be going to my Bruno rant. But Bruno Fernandes as your best player on this team is just not good enough to do anything substantial. And I don't know, maybe because of the chance creation and statistics and all that type of stuff, it gives people just feeling like, man, just add some pieces here, add some pieces there. No. The team as presently constructed with Bruno as the best player is regressing. Is seriously regressing. But people wanted to be like, people just wanted to be so consumed by this season. Let the process go. Let's go through it. It's okay that sometimes we don't win games, we lose games. But every single day we're coming in and we're understanding what we need to do day by day. And I just feel like people lost complete sight of that. And that's why even for Wilcox, he started listening to the outside voices that maybe it's a back four over something that we have to do, again, like Radcliffe said, demonstrate over the next 3 years. Now it's, okay, no, change, maybe change to a back four. If they say back four is not okay, okay, maybe change to a back five. You know, back four. So it's like, I just feel like we let the optimism of the season get in our way. And I just hope that the next manager we get from next season, we commit to what we want to do and not be letting outside voices
influence. Do you trust them? Do you trust them to actually be able to find the proper manager that can actually lead you guys to the next level?
I don't.
Yes, I actually do. I actually trust in you. Because I do think that Rakim didn't want to fire Amorim. I think, yeah, obviously Amorim said that and it was always doomed because they were not all on the same page. So I do think that as long as whoever they bring next, everybody's on the same page.
Fire the person.
Yeah, you said what?
I don't even think you need to fire the person for coming out and saying that.
Yeah. I don't think they need to fire him, but I think maybe he needed to choose between Wilcox. It felt like he needed to choose between Wilcox and Amorim. And Amorim felt like the easier one to let go, simply because of results at the moment.
Wilcox was
but not I don't think he wanted to fire him.
Just get that's how you know someone that is good at their job. How you manage the things. I mean, him is the owner, it's not Radcliffe that's going to be managing that. But is Wilcox that's who's supposed to be that relationship between manager and the board. Well, him, he's there trying to control things when he has never done it. Like, bro, look at how Arsenal moved this winter break. This summer. Is it not because of Betra? Like, bro, these are the kind of moves that he's supposed to be focused on doing and making.
I'm looking at Betra somehow now, right now, because before they made that Gyökeres signing, a lot of people had questions, me included, about the style of play and everything. How well does he actually suit us? But given that they pushed so hard, I believe that there's something I was not seeing. So right now, everything I'm seeing is what I expected, which is why I'm a bit sad, because I was praying I was wrong.
And
but even then,
it might just be one season. You guys just need to be patient for real. Because Premier League seems to adjust, man.
Only reason I'm patient is because I told you. Only reason I'm patient, I'm saying that, is only reason I'm patient, and I'm not opening an account and running the whole game.
I feel like the only instant hits you guys could have gone for was Osimhen or Osimhen, really. That was the only top striker that moved this summer.
Yeah, but he was purported to be an instant hit. That was the defining, like, thing between him and Sesko. Because everybody knows Sesko,
you know why?
Because
he said literally that Arteta asked him during his interview, are you okay with not scoring in some game, in multiple rounds of games? And that's... A top striker would not be okay, bro. Like... Yeah, that just goes to just be...
Whether or not, that will not be your choice now. Even Haaland do this custom game.
I think what Arteta meant...
This season just looks... Maybe we'll be criticizing too much, but it just kind of looks elongated, and it doesn't really look like he's, I don't know, it doesn't really look like he's doing anything. Like, I know
that, question, are you
behind the defenders? I guess.
I feel like we're just making up stuff at this point. That's question about him. Are you okay with not scoring some games and whatnot? Is about trying to, you know, that thing about Haaland, whether he scores or not, you keep pushing hard, you keep doing the same things. I think that's what that question was geared at. Are you okay with not scoring some games and blah, 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 blah? So see his kind of his mindset, whether he gets a goal or he doesn't get a goal, he'll still be give you the same amount of performance. Okay. Clearly, but what we're seeing his lack of confidence, he's clearly not okay. Him not scoring is clearly affecting him and making him struggle more and more. But I mean, it happens. Yeah. Hopefully, he gets over it because now he looks bereft of confidence. Like,
man, I think you should just put his head down. I beg, dude, they should rotate him, have him sit on the bench a couple games.
Middle of next season, we'll be saying Havertz should be starting.
I'm not even at this point. I kind of suspected that would happen because see the run. Immediately he came in. He already made a nice run that I've not seen from Gyökeres since the first few games. Literally, that's how I know Gyökeres' problem is no more a stylistic thing. It's actually a confidence thing now. It's looking bad. But hopefully we figure it out.
They should make him play some. They should have him play some FA Cup games, score a couple goals, you know, bring him back alive. I think that's what Arteta needs to do.
Right. Yeah, I was scared that if they play him today, because if imagine if he played today and he didn't score against Portsmouth, I think his confidence would take a huge hit. So maybe it's actually safer to play him in Premier League games. I think it's going to be safer to play him in Premier League games. So like, if he does not score, like, oh yeah, Premier League games are hard. Play him in strong games, I bet, because so if
nah, score, will, I think your charisma score against Portsmouth. He will score against all the smaller teams.
Imagine if you play against Portsmouth and not score. Imagine that.
He will have an assist. It's at possible.
At that point, they'll send you to Yedepo.
Nah, I mean, I still believe your guys will have his part to play. You know, if not now. Hopefully sometime in the future. But as long as the team keeps, you know, winning games, that is what is most important to me. I'm not carrying your career on my head. If you like, you score. If you like, you should not score. But we shall win.
Yeah, as long as you keep winning. Nah, true. That's true. Because if you win the league, you'll say it's because of he was occupying defenders. So fair play. Whatever. Because
there's no if about it. You guys are winning the league to me. I've always felt that since that phone, I've always felt that since that phone interaction over Spurs. So,
I mean,
I feel like,
what are you saying?
You guys are, I feel like I did some of like the kind of like fear that Arsenal fans have been showing. I'm like, this is not the same team from 22-23 that, you know, for the first time went at that, going to win the title. This is 3 years in. They know themselves. They know what they need to do. I don't even think that, I generally don't even think they're really paying that much attention to Man City. Like in their circle.
They shouldn't.
Just focused on what they need to do. Because it's like, bro, that team is not afraid. Those boys are not afraid.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's mostly the old boys that are carrying us. So all these Gyökeres, Eze, and it feels like we're winning in spite of them, not even because of them. I mean, I guess what we just need is just depth and bodies just to carry us through. I don't know. I mean, I've always felt our first team was always good. It's really the depth. But right now, We need Gyökeres to start scoring, though. We need, because I think at some point we're going to need his goals.
Yeah. But Jesus is back, though.
I don't trust Jesus. I think as Havertz, I'm more excited for.
Fuck Jesus, man.
I like Jesus too. Aesthetically. I like Jesus aesthetically. But in terms of actual substance, I cannot really rely on him.
To be fair, for Martinelli's form, let's keep Jesus. I think both of them, they should just play Martinelli and Jesus in the same games. They will do their thing. But in more serious games, you know, yeah, obviously, I will need Trossard to do his thing. I need Gyökeres to wake
what
up.
What a player Trossard is, man.
Oh, yeah.
What that a guy. Player Trossard is, man. Jesus. I'm so jealous. What a player.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, what you were saying there.
Business.
They bought that guy for, what, 30 million? And they had to even increase his salary. Because he was making like 90k before. They had to bump him up to 120k. Yeah, that's what we bought him for.
I think it was 30.
What a steal, man. What a steal. That's a steal, man.
That was a steal. But anyway, did you guys see that Martinelli stuff? I think it was the Liverpool game where he someone the injury and everything where he threw the ball on the guy.
Oh, make on a hold, Jerry. Chineke. Wait till that. Make him hold that big. Like, we didn't see him call back onto the field. Also, like, guy, come off field, that big. We'll play ball.
And I saw the story that they were portraying, and I was like, bro, what the fuck is this? Like, do these people even watch the game?
What's going on?
Like, he clearly, when this guy injured, Martinelli went to him, initially told him sorry, paused the play, because he was going to take the throw fast. And then when they saw the referee stop the game for an injury, he went there and he told him sorry. Like, you could see that he made a gesture to him that, oh, just stay, you know. And then, all of a sudden, Connor started limping back into the field. And I get it, yeah, you know, you shouldn't let the heat of the moment. But come on, we know these guys. You saw what Bradley was trying to do, and now they are trying to paint it like, oh, Martinelli is shit, and, you know, he has no dignity. I'm like, bro, it's a game, bro. They are trying to win the league. We're not out here telling people sorry up and down. Like, he already told him sorry. Like, it's not as if it was even a tackle that Martinelli did that even fouled the Bradley guy. The guy injured on his own accord, and, yeah, it's sad to see a player get injured, but why are people painting Martinelli like this bad guy? Like,
not sad for me, Sean. I was having a great time.
I'll be honest, I think it was
Him
throwing the ball on him was a bit distasteful to the next step, but I think the reaction after that was just crazy because, first of all, they would know Martinelli would have known the extent of the injury. He's not a doctor. He definitely did not know he was that injured because apparently he went to apologize after in the dressing room after that. But just the reaction following that is just crazy. Like you've not seen that happen multiple times in football pitch. You just like it's not even as if he threw the ball on his head like that. He kind of dropped it beside. It was a very light thing. Like it was not that deep. I don't know why.
Killed him or something.
Yeah, like he was the one that even tackled him. Now the reaction was insane. Like I'm hearing pundits say that he should have been that Liverpool player should have beat up Martinelli, that it was crazy, that was just such a terrible this thing to do. I'm like, bro, wait, did we watch the same thing? Like, yeah, it was a bit annoying. I think people learning that the injury was serious after probably made it even worse. Maybe that's why people reacted that way. But still, come on, like I'm talking as if Martinelli is now the devil. Like, bro, come on, it's crazy.
I'm super glad that he banged in a hat-trick today. Super, super glad he banged in a hat-trick today. Like, yeah, okay, sit down. Oh, my goodness.
Wild.
Also, this might be bad. I don't like Liverpool, Sha, and I don't like Conor Bradley, so... take my words with a grain of salt. I don't like those boys, so you know.
Nambi, do you have any takes on that?
I didn't get to see the video, but I heard about it. I mean, he said that he talked to him after. They both seem cool. People should mind their business. Like that's it. I don't know. People are just. Just coming for somebody, like they've talked about it. What are you still talking about again at this point?
Yeah, it's just people and they are, you know, all of a sudden everybody's Jesus.
Morality police, everybody in a morality police.
Well, anyway, though, I think the last segment for today will be like El Clasico. Did you guys watch the Barcelona versus Madrid game? Their games are always crazy, honestly.
Yeah, I've actually really enjoyed this like era of El Clasicos. Since like Mbappe came in, it's been really competitive. Like, these boys, I wish I was someone that I watched the games. I'm like, yeah, do you know what? This is fun. This is really fun.
Yeah, these guys. I mean, we didn't learn anything new from them. But Madrid's midfield is still the same, very very porous. Barcelona's defense, very porous. All attack, back and forth. Bro, he literally felt like I was watching the highlights. Vinicius finally. Brook is scoring this thing. He's scoring issues. Brook is scoring dog, whatever. So I don't know when last he scored a goal, but the goal he scored made up for all the scoreless matches. Like it was a crazy solo goal, crazy solo goal.
Yeah, so
I guess Rafinha also showed why he's very very important to the team and why he's been robbed multiple times. Robbed by Ballon d'Or, robbed by FIFA the Best Award. Even robbed by five aside, he didn't even make it to our first. And that guy definitely is one of the best players in the world, like without doubt. But Yamal was going crazy too. I don't think he got on the score sheet. I don't think he got on the score sheet, but he looked crazy good. I think right now he probably has the highest GA.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I might be wrong though. I think he's probably one of the highest.
I won't be surprised. Back to back La Liga player of the month, so.
Yeah, he's been really good. And look, he's under the radar. Even though he's normally overhyped, but I think he's quite going under the radar this season. He's balling. And yeah, this boy is looking really good. Gonzalo Garcia as a striker.
Is it that kid that scored a hat trick?
Yeah, if Madrid needs somewhere, maybe because Mbappe is their striker, if Gonzalo needs to go somewhere, Arsenal is very open. The guy, he has all the movements that I'm begging. I think you're ready to watch the guy's videos because he moves really well.
You can't win anything with kids, though. Remember that.
This kid looks really good. This kid looks really good. I think Opa is back. Yo, Gonzalo striker.
Oh, Madrid striker?
Yeah, he knows how to move.
Like that. Yeah, his movement is good.
It actually reminds me of Chicharito.
I didn't watch too much of Chicharito, but I guess, yeah. The guy is pretty good. I'm surprised, the guy's actually, benching Mbappe at this point.
No, Mbappe's injured. Mbappe's injured.
Oh, he's injured for real? Yeah. I didn't know it was a serious injury not to play. Because he still came on. He came on in 75th minutes, yeah, but I guess because they were losing.
He definitely had the injection. I think they gave him some injections to be able to come on. Yeah, but... Now Madrid are looking quite interesting in midfield, but yeah, Barca. Yeah. I'm not too surprised Barca won because it's been a while since Barcelona lost a game.
Madrid's midfield looks terrible, bro. I don't know what's up. I guess they are still having defensive issues, but I don't think Camavinga is good enough to play in that midfield one, and then even Bellingham. Honestly, Bellingham was looking tired today. Like I said, oh, the work rate and run on the tire. But yeah, Bellingham too wasn't looking his best. He did have good glimpses. I think if he has, maybe a combination of Tchouaméni and Valverde in that midfield with him, as opposed to him and Camavinga and this thing, it might be better. And then Madrid's defense too was just I think Tchouaméni was playing centre back today. They have defensive problems, and I think they just need to go and buy defenders.
Both those teams have defensive issues.
Like Barcelona too?
Yeah.
At least Barca, they have some starters, and even their bench is still solid. Madrid at this point, I don't even know one, apart from the Hoisin guy, and I guess, what's that other Madrid boy? Asensio. Mm-hmm. Apart from the two of them, those are the only semi-serious defenders now in that team. Alaba is already too old. Rudiger too is already washed out. And they are playing Tchouaméni as a center back, bro. And,
I'm guessing Trent is injured. Is Trent injured?
I think so, yeah. That's true. I haven't seen that guy too.
Yeah, I think he's still him and Carvajal, right?
Yeah, they're both.
Carvajal too is on the bench. I don't think he's fully recovered from his injury.
Yeah,
and this Trent's move has gone badly so far.
For the whole world, for everybody,
Liverpool as well. But it's the most giving shades of Hazard to Hazard to Madrid.
But that was a disaster, Jesus! That was actually so bad. I was so surprised how bad that. That the was same a way. Disaster.
Trent's own is turning into a disaster.
But it's Trent can still be because Trent is still what 24, 25.
Yeah, he's
I think for him he has it Hazard was 30 when he went to Madrid and just fell apart. Just fell apart.
I think it was 28.
Damn. And he's already retired. That guy.
He retired very early.
That guy.
Well, Nnamdi, did you watch the game? Do you have any thoughts on the Barca Madrid?
Nah, I didn't watch the game, so I've just been listening to you guys.
Did you guys think that was a red card?
No.
Yeah, I think that was a red card challenge. I don't know what you guys were saying in the chat. Did you watch the replay? This guy was sliding, and as he was sliding, he put the kick. His thoughts touched this guy's shin now.
Yeah, but it wasn't really high kick. There wasn't any real force in there now. It was kind of like,
yeah,
I don't know how to describe it, but it just didn't feel like intense. There was no force. There was no real impact.
I guess you could
put it that way. Trying to 2 foot, like really trying to break somebody's leg on the field. Like, I feel like that also needs to be factored in. Like, who is the guy that is committing this?
I know now. That will bring some prejudice.
That's what I'm saying.
I think that in the case of that, prejudice is fine. I'm just saying. It's different if Ramos is doing it, and it's different if Frankie De Jong is doing it. It will make me look more like, let's really look at the concept of what's happening. I don't think it was a record. I think maybe a yellow card and a strong, like, hey, listen, that was kind of high, so keep it.
When I saw the replay, I knew VAR wouldn't overturn it, but I feel like if they give a yellow card, I don't think VAR will have an issue with it.
It could have gone both ways, but in my opinion, that was a dangerous tackle, and granted, he didn't use that much force.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason why your studs should be at that level of the player's leg.
That's fair.
Unless you are trying to do harm. Like, come on. You can bring a player down. I get it if he was trying to like commit a yellow card offense, you know, all those, oh, I'll just pull you back. I'm not trying to foul you. I just want to stop play. Cool. But like kicking someone that high up, like if they give you a red, I'm not gonna say it's not your red. It could go both ways. So
fair play. That's fair.
Really? Like, do we have any other thoughts on the Clásico? No, this is a Super Cup, and I don't know. And Super Cup is very, very big in Spain. Do we have any? I don't think the Premier League has any.
Big in Spain. They don't even play in Spain anymore, man.
It's not in Spain. But I mean, it's
they don't even play in Spain anymore.
It's Saudi.
You don't say you're crazy. Go Saudi.
My goodness, playing the El Clásico final in Saudi.
In Saudi,
yeah.
But that's what they need money now. La Liga needs money.
They need the money. They canceled their they had a plan to move the league to the US for some games.
Yeah,
and apparently some of the games, like,
yeah, but they fought against it and they've canceled it. So yeah, I mean, I'm sad, but I understand.
And but, the funny thing is that's that bad of an idea, though.
I don't think so.
Like, it's a good way to grow your fan base for your teams that aren't Real Madrid and Barcelona. It's a good way because your league really needs to diversify.
Yeah, bro, they can't compete. Sure. They need to find creative ways to compete.
They need to find creative ways to do it.
Yeah,
but I mean, doing preseason tour is what people do. Like, where they go start with preseason tour first.
But it's not competitive, though.
I guess.
You know how like, sometimes NFL teams will play in, like, you'll come to Europe and play, or like NBA teams will come to Europe and play. Like, so it's just good to have that kind of like worldwide presence for like your smaller teams. You know, they don't always bring their biggest team, they bring their other guys.
We can't stop it. Football is becoming Americanized. I don't know why we are fighting it.
I swear, bro. Like,
why are we fighting?
America is touching my beautiful sport, man. I don't like this.
Anyway, dude.
Sorry, I was just gonna say, like, and the fact that it is Barcelona and Madrid that actually destroyed La Liga, and it's them that they are going to chop the money.
Yeah,
going to freaking Abu Dhabi again. It's just like God.
Nah, just them. Every year, man. Every year.
Anyway, though. Wait. I'm supposed to ask a question. So, how seriously can we even take this? I know man is out of every competition. So, but in terms of Arsenal and the rest, how seriously can we take FA Cup and BFA?
You guys need to win it. You guys need to want to win it. You guys should want to win it. Yeah. Like, you guys should really want to win it. I don't see why you can't do a Cup and League double this season. You guys should really want to do that.
I wonder how hard can they push. I mean, Arteta is going strong from what I see. I mean, I know he's not our first team, but he really starts youngsters, except Manieri, of course. But the real, like Malo Solomon and the rest, they don't really start. Clearly, he's not doing what he did previously. So he's
going. Which is good, because you guys have to sense the moment. Now it's time to really have a stronghold on the league. And that cup domination is also important. Like, not like necessarily winning it, but just getting there like almost all the time is very important.
Definitely. I think this Carabao game against Chelsea that is coming up this Wednesday means a semi-final game. I expect him to go there strong. Like, winning the Premier League would be nice. But like this guy said, yeah, doing like a cup double would just be, I don't think that would be a stretch to call out for Arteta. So yeah.
I wouldn't want it to affect anything.
It shouldn't affect anything, bro.
It shouldn't. I think the second team is strong enough. Like scoring 4 goals today and not really having to bring in all them Saka and this thing when we need a goal was pretty good. So they just had to close out the game. So that would be helpful. I guess especially for the Chelsea game this coming week. Is it Tuesday?
I believe so.
But yeah. You know what takes, guys? I think we've come to the end. Do we have any? No, I'm the wedding to go to. I feel like
I'm here.
Disappeared. He's really... Do you have any takes? Anything you want to say? You think Darren Fletcher could actually turn your season around, or maybe Ole?
No.
Or do we think?
Any other takes? Carrick, that would be the.
Who's named in Man City? Do you think Man City will come back? Okay, what's your hot take?
Mine was if they should give Ole the Man U managerial position, I think Man U is keeping their top 6 position easy. If Ole should enter there, I won't have any fears for relegation. I think Ole is the only guy that can keep Man U afloat this season. I think. Watching Ole coach Man U was the best Man U since, I guess, Fergie era. So, yeah, that's my hot take.
My hot take is that Arsenal won the league quite comfortably by a good number of points. Because City is not as good as they used to be. And I think that matters. So I do think that Arsenal will quite comfortably wrap up the league. That's my
opinion. I don't feel that way.
I know you shouldn't. So. You haven't won it in 20 years. You shouldn't feel confident. But don't worry. Nami, don't tell me now. Nami, don't tell me. I don't go. I've gone forward. I've seen. I'm just coming back to tell you guys.
Nando, what about you?
I'm still Timothy. I believe we can definitely do enough. Like I said, I don't feel like Arsenal's thing is. Even a mindset issue, I feel like it's a spiritual issue. You guys always have injuries, key injuries, and that's all I'm just going to rely on, to be honest. So, yeah.
Okay. All right, guys. I think we've come to the end of the show. But, yeah. You guys at home, keep watching. Make sure to leave your comments and tell us your opinions. I think there were a lot of crazy takes in this episode. So I'd like to hear from you guys. Turn on your notifications, keep subscribing and share with your friends. Bye, fam. Peace.
Go Eagles.